Slowly but surely your superconscious faculties develop, until they fill your whole being and take over completely. As our two streams of consciousness merge, the shadows from the past and the earthly ego structures dissolve. Each one of you is now preparing to be one of the lambs of God, who is coming home into the oneness with me and all life. The long-awaited time when the earthly and heavenly twins are reuniting and working together again, instead of against each other, is here. There is nothing to fear and every reason to rejoice. As I have created you in my image, whatever is in me is also in you. In Matthew 5:48 I told you, therefore become perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Over the ages, this too has been much misunderstood, but I am telling you now that the perfection you are seeking is wholeness and that this means the blending of all aspects of your nature into one. To this end, you need to take possession of everything that is within you, your femininity and masculinity, your earthly self and your God or highest self. Everybody has to take charge of these parts and bring them together. When they are functioning as one, you have become perfect, and to me that means whole, healed and holy. All the religions your world has ever known were inspired by me and came directly from my mind, let no one think otherwise. In the beginning they were pure and unadulterated, but as time went by my wisdom became more and more distorted by humankind's lower earthly mind. As generation after generation it was filled with and responded to human fears and anxieties, my teachings eventually almost entirely lost the power they once had over people's hearts and souls. My wisdom, love and power are within each one of you, but if they are used without love in your heart and for selfish purposes, they turn against you and destroy you and that which you intended to create. When these powers are stimulated to bring out the worst in humankind, they may turn into the greatest enemy your race and your world has ever known. The only way of counteracting this is through love, for love is the key to unlocking all doors, including this one. No soul can force its way into heaven, the oneness with me. The door to me can only be unlocked by love. The greatest intellects of your world will never solve my mysteries, but they can certainly go a long way to destroying it, for themselves and those who listen to and believe their words, instead of mine. The humble, kind and loving human heart alone can unravel the mystery of love, of life and of me. And that is why at some stage in each soul's evolution the divine spark that dwells in every heart, the Christ child, wants to come alive. This it can only do through love. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth, the creatures of the earth, rays of wisdom, the universal Christ speaks to us and our world in Saint Matthew 5-5 of the Jesus legend I told you, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This message to your world is as valid and true now, as it was when I first gave it to you. Many of you, my human children, are among the meek who are patiently and willingly beavering away in the background of life working on your own healing process. Even if nobody in your world has ever heard or seen them, every step of the way we, the angels, masters, friends and helpers and I are observing, guiding and protecting them and keeping them safe. In spite of all that the only true meek ones your planet has ever known were never human souls, but the small creatures of the earth. Since time immemorial, they have been her true inheritors, especially the worms and insects that crawl about on her, and the microbes and bacteria that are invisible to earthly eyes without a microscope. Pay your respects to the essential work these laborers are doing for and with Mother Earth and therefore also on your behalves. They do not expect anything in return and demand nothing apart from being allowed to pursue the lives they have been given without too much human interference. These creatures are the great recyclers of the earth who were there long before any of you appeared on the scene. They will still be there and continuing with their work long after every last one of you, my beloved human children, has outgrown their need for spending further lifetimes in physicality. Once more I remind you that there is no death. There is only one life that is constantly pushing forwards and upwards in vast evolutionary cycles. It will forever move you, your world and all worlds onto new and higher levels of existence, bringing new learning and understanding through fresh first-hand experiences for every single one of you. Many by now are realizing the dreamlike quality of life in physicality. They are right, it really is a dream and an illusion, but nonetheless it has to be dealt with in the appropriate manner by each one of you. Your earthly education can only be left behind when your thought and behavior patterns prove to me that your time for doing so has come. Each one of you has been placed on the earth to eventually wake up to the realization that you yourselves are God. It was you who created the earthly dream world, and simultaneously you are the dreamer and the dream. You and I are one. I dream my dreams and speak my sacred words and prayers through you. Those who listen intently enough can join them and consciously become one with me. Humankind's age-old yearning for a peaceful world to come is a manifestation of my vision in you. Although thus far it had to remain but a dream, now the time has come when hand in hand with the angels and me you will be making this dream into a reality. The wars of your world have been and still are my teaching aids to show all of you the value of peace, so that when it finally comes you are sure to cherish, value and support it with all your might. Having known wars and all manner of other troubles and strife in the past, you will then sing my praises for having found true and lasting peace, within and without. From then onwards this is going to be your most treasured possession. You will safeguard it and make sure that no one and nothing can ever disturb and upset it again. Unfortunately, this is the only way I could teach you, my human children of the earth, the value of peace. You are experience. You are life itself and you are life experiencing itself. Over the ages, through your prophets I told your world many times that earthly life is but a dream. Yet, for a long time you could not grasp that these words were trying to make it clear to you that in truth you are always in eternity. The deep inner understanding this requires can only grow in human souls, each through their own first-hand experiences and learning from them. But now that you are at last waking up to the realization of your true nature, I beg of you not to delay putting into practice whatever wisdom you find until you have reached what you once used to think of as eternity. Your work is on the earthly plane. This is your school and here you must learn. Those who diligently pay attention to the education it can provide will never fail, and whatever may befall them, they cannot lose. There are no losers in the whole of my creation. As long as you learn willingly and apply your whole being to making the earth a better place for everybody, you can be sure of counting among life's winners. There is every reason why you should trust me implicitly, because it always has been a vital part of my great plan of life that good must prevail in the end. No matter how dire things may sometimes look on the surface of life, good will eventually triumph over every bit of evil that still exists in you and your world. My light is my knowledge and wisdom, your power and mine. I share them with you to assist you with conquering every last shred of darkness within and without. Rest assured that you, your true eternal self, will never, never die, it cannot die. As I rise into your conscious awareness and gradually take over your whole being, you will discover that you yourself, each one of you, are the resurrection. You are the life, the way and the truth. Live it. Take possession of it and endeavor to use whatever comes your way for the highest good of all life, for you yourselves are God and everything that is in your world and all worlds has been placed into your care and ultimately is your responsibility. The people you encounter in our earthly existence and also the things you require for your stays there were never meant for you to cling on to like grim death. Each one is a gift from me. You borrow them for a certain predestined period only. I expect you to return them to me in at least as good condition, ideally in an improved one, as you once received them. For as long as your race has populated my beautiful planet Earth, I have allowed you free access to all life forms that share it with you. Now that you are evolving into spiritual adulthood, your hearts and souls are beginning to understand Mother Earth's suffering and dilemmas. As a result, the wise ones among you are now willing to take better care of her and all life that is in her loving embrace. Having learnt from the mistakes of the past, These pioneers and pathfinders for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius are showing their love and respect to all of you by acting in ever more responsible ways. By living simply and modestly, they have left behind their role of one of Mother Earth treasures, plunderers and rapists, and are now playing the part of one of her guardians and safekeepers. Recommended reading: How Shall the Meek Inherit the Earth? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Psalms are one of the oldest parts of the scriptures of the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity and Islam. All wisdom that is in your world has its origin in me, including that of the Psalms. It was brought by my angels to religions and cultures that came and went again, before Judaism evolved from those that came before it. To ensure the required evolutionary progress, as well as teaching humankind invaluable lessons, all things in your world eventually must vanish. In Psalm 4:3-5 I told you, the Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and yet sin not. Commune with your own heart and meditate upon your bed. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. As you can see, even in those days I advised you to do that which is good and right and to trust me, the living God within your own heart, to show you right from wrong. Through various teachers I have always given you messages like this one from the earliest point of humankind's descent into matter. I gave them to you because it has always been true, as indeed it is to this day. Not merely from the days when the Psalms first appeared in your world, but to those who follow their intuition, the living God within, in due course only that which is good and right can return. That is why, from the earliest stages of your earthly existence, through the teachers I sent to your world, I presented you with the message that whenever anger threatens to overwhelm you, you should find safe and loving ways of expressing yourselves. Recognize all your feeling for what they truly are, including this one. Anger is but one of the signals I send you through the world of your feelings, to draw your attention that something is amiss and that some kind of corrective action is required from you. I am the small still voice of your conscience that has always been with you, trying to guide and protect you and to lead you into doing that which is right, whilst keeping you from destructive and detrimental things that do not serve you well. And if you meditate upon me in my presence regularly, especially last thing at night before going to sleep, and if in all your activities you learn to listen within for my advice, you simply cannot go wrong. The wisdom contained in the Psalms of the Christian and Islamic sacred texts was taken from those of the Jewish tradition. In the case of the Christian Church, it was brought together and freshly presented to you by its founding fathers in the New Testament of what was in due course become known as the Bible. That's why the Gospels at times present you with almost identical messages, for example, Matthew 6:31-33, "Therefore do not worry or say, what will we eat or what will we drink or with what will we be clothed? For worldly people seek after all these things. Your Father in heaven knows that all of these things are also necessary for you." In almost identical words, St. Luke 12:29-31, "So do not be anxious about what you will eat or what you will drink, and let not your mind be disturbed by these things. For worldly people seek after all these things, and your Father knows that these things are also necessary for you. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. As you know by now, my kingdom is everywhere in the whole of creation, it is within and without of you." And to clarify the meaning of the above Bible teachings, I inspired the translators of later editions to write, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness." This edition, however, was not intended to indicate that the Bible in its present form and you, when you are quoting from it, should always be right. It was merely a reminder of the necessity for human souls to make every effort at doing what is good and right in words, thoughts and actions. Because I fully intended that throughout the ages ever more understanding of my wisdom should come to your race, the words of all the sacred texts that have ever appeared in your world were never intended to be cast in concrete or carved into stone, far from it. My divine qualities are in each one of you in seed form. Your most important task in your present existence is learning to master the drives and urges of your lower earthly nature. Instead of being driven by them, the way all of you have been in past ages, now you are required to bring forth from within you my highest characteristics, because they are also yours. Through constantly practicing my kind of righteousness and at all times giving of your best, each one of you slowly but surely grows into the role of being a fully fledged and responsible young god in their own right. You will then be able to draw the great abundance of the whole of my creation towards you. I will place at your disposal. Yet, because of your ever-increasing awareness that the concerns of the spirit are of far greater significance than worldly possessions and money, you will only desire as much as you require for your survival and comfort on your present level of existence. Your ever-growing sense of responsibility towards all life, including Mother Earth and all her children, not merely human ones, will ensure that none of you will place too much of a burden on any of the resources I shall put at your disposal. Part 8, Adam and Eve. From the earliest days of its descent into matter, humankind has asked questions like, who am I? Where do I come from and where am I going to? And how did we all come into being? You have a right to search into these things. In fact, you are meant to do this and you are entitled to find out the truth, as much of it as any given time your race can digest and cope with. For a very long time you had to make do with allegories about a great many things, including the one about the first human beings. But, as by now sufficient numbers of you have grown into spiritual maturity to be able to grasp more of the full truth, the time has come for revealing to you that the tale of Adam and Eve is but a metaphor. It stands for the fact that the inner invisible part of every man is woman and that of every woman is man. About the first human beings in the book of Genesis of the Abrahamic religions I told you in 2:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild beasts of the earth and over every creeping one that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. In Genesis 3:18 and 21:23 my teaching continued with, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper who is like him." So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh in its stead. And from the rib the Lord God had taken from Adam he made a woman and brought her to Adam. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." This involves a play on words. Woman is contained in man, works in the English language, but none of the others. I am the father of the whole of creation. My spirit is the masculine aspect of the divine, known in your world as God, fire and air, creative ideas and the thought processes and intellect to communicate them to my feminine counterpart, the goddess. She is the mother and the soul of the whole of creation. The elements earth and water represent my soft sensitive feeling side through whom I express my idea and bring them into manifestation in your world and all others. Created in my image, all these things are also in you. The story of Adam and Eve has provided a large part of your world with an allegory of the creation of the first human beings and the highly complex psychological processes of initiation that every human spirit that goes forth from me has to undergo. The tale was invented to explain them in the most simple terms possible, which could be easily be grasped by ordinary men and women at that particular phase in humankind's evolution. The esoteric truth behind it is that Adam, the man, represents consciousness and Eve, the woman, psyche, the man's soul. Each one of you contains both. In my mind I first the perfect prototype, which means that like me he is whole because he contains all my aspects and characteristics. From this emerged the primordial being Adam of the sacred texts, where his preconscious state is described as a deep sleep. In this state I took one side from him, not a rib, as it was misinterpreted in later versions of my teachings about this process of creation. This part of my wisdom is very old indeed because I gave it to your world in ancient times. It found its way into the Judaic tradition from the much older traditions of the ancient Greeks. They in turn had extracted their spiritual knowledge from the ancient Egypt culture that predated them, and so forth. The part truth that Eve was created from Adam's side was lost in translation, because people in those days could simply not yet grasp that this did not mean one side of his physical body, but his inner self and subconscious. The whole truth, which you are now ready to receive, is that Eve, the woman, was and always will be an individual spirit, who is whole in her own right, the same as Adam, the man. But, now you are ready to grasp that Adam is a symbolism for my consciousness and also yours. In both genders he represents the masculine aspect. Eve is his feminine counterpart, psyche or soul. You can surely see for yourself that the fall from Eden is a metaphor for humankind's psyche taking its consciousness into the identification with its physical body. It was no fall or accident, but a necessary evolutionary step for helping each one of you to become aware that in truth you are an individual spark of me, my child, each one whole and complete with its own masculine consciousness and feminine soul aspect, just like me. The purpose behind creating you as men and women has been and still is the development of these parts in equal proportions. The two eventually have to be perfectly balanced in you, the way they are in me. To achieve this, all human spirits have to reincarnate sometimes into male physical bodies and on other occasions into female ones. It was for evolutionary purposes that your other half had to remain hidden from your own view for a very long time. That's why you were provided with two levels of awareness, a conscious and a subconscious one. The new golden age of plenty, hand in hand with the angels and me, you yourselves are going to create this age. It can only come about through ever more of you becoming aware of their true nature and acting accordingly. When all unflinchingly give of their best to the whole and take out only what they need, hunger and thirst or any other kind of want and suffering will gradually become unknown on your planet. None of you will then insist on amassing too many worldly possessions, because you will know only too well what an encumbrance they in truth are. They tie you like leaden weights to your present existence and stop you from developing the wings you require to fulfill your highest potential in pursuit of your greatest spiritual aspirations and creative artistic accomplishments, which will be your contribution towards making your world into an ever more beautiful and harmonious one. Can you see what a wonderful, wonderful world is waiting for you? Know that no matter what may ever come to pass for you and your world, you will always be safe. At all times there will be a happy ending, if not in this lifetime, then in another or maybe another one still. Everything is part of my great plan for all life, and nothing has ever taken place in your world or any other against my will. All is well and rests safely in my loving hands, and so it shall be forever and ever. No harm can ever come to the true and eternal part of you. So, rest safely in my love and nurture your souls, my beloved children of the earth, by following my guidance from deep within you, for that is where every soul's very own special key to eternity is hidden. I bless you, your world and all life in it. My special blessings are for each and every one of you, during these difficult times of transformation and transition from one age to another. You and your world have always rested securely in my loving hands. They always will do so, and the lessons in your present school of life are unfolding exactly the way they should and in accordance with my plan. None of you has anything to fear, for the angels and I are with you, always. We are familiar with your struggles, but no matter what tests and trials may have to still have to be endured by you, put your trust in us and venture courageously forth, safe in the knowledge that we shall always be there to guide and protect you in all your enterprises. Never forget that we are in charge and that no one and no force in the whole of creation ever took the reins from my hands, least of all one of you, dear earthly children. All is well with you, your world and all worlds, and forever will be. The tears of your world, I am he who comforts you, who are you to be afraid? You are on the earth plane so that in the fullness of time, every human soul in its own right, can grow into a seeker of the wisdom of my truth, rather than gullibly swallowing, as you were required to do in previous ages, what others place before you. Each must go in search of their own understanding that expands their consciousness, until it has fully evolved into an integral part of mine. The way back home into the conscious awareness of the oneness with me is a journey of 1,000 miles and many thousands of lifetimes. Tears have always been one of its most essential and valuable ingredients. Not for nothing I told you in St. Matthew 5-4, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." You may often have wondered how this should be. The Bible speaks of a comforter who in due course will come to you, but in truth he has forever been with you. I am the one who comforts you. How do I do it? By dwelling inside you. Since time immemorial, during periods of struggle and trauma, no matter of what nature, I have been with you. When you have finished thrashing about and sit down to have a good weep, with the help of your tears I am the one who brings you comfort and healing. As crying causes a chemical reaction in your system that releases endorphins into your bloodstream, it flows into every cell of your physical body. Hence the ancient folk wisdom that crying is good for your health, which is confirmed by your scientific researchers. In every part of your world, crying has constantly been one of the main outlets for your earthly self of the inner pain and suffering of your soul. Up to recently, all you knew about crying was the traumatic events, prolonged stress, loneliness, loss, pain, and frequently just simple daily upsets and struggles can trigger it. Tears of rage and frustration, impotence and helplessness, remorse and guilt are as much part of the gamut of the world of your feelings as those of happiness and joy. This is one of the great paradoxes of earth life, which shows how closely related all your feelings are. The more you evolve spiritually, the better you grasp that, in the final analysis, every pain and sorrow that comes to you is at the same time an essential part of your joy, because in times of suffering you grow closer to me and my world, your true home. Those who already have grown sufficiently in wisdom and understanding no longer begrudge their tears, but welcome them as my harbingers of healing and peace. If you suffer from a spiritual guilt complex, let go of it. You are not some kind of worm or miserable sinner, as some to this day would like to make you believe. You are nothing of the kind. You are my beloved children, young gods in the making. As all manner of evolutionary lessons have to be imbibed by each one of you, individually and collectively, your pathway up to now has been an extremely tough and stormy one. Unbeknown to you, I have never left you. I have always guided and protected you from within the very core of your own being. My angels and your masters on the higher and highest levels of life are watching every step you make. Whenever one of you reaches out to them, they are only too happy to help, for those are my instructions. I have never left you and your world without a witness of my eternal truths. Through a general lack of understanding, much of it has been misinterpreted and abused for personal gains. The further you tear forward into the enlightenment of the Aquarian Age, there will no longer be any need for tolerating this, because increasing numbers of you are ready to receive my wisdom directly from me. You are as much part of me as I am of you. I am merciful and I love you. I do not enjoy your painful experiences any more than you do. I have never left you and will in all eternity be with you. Whenever traumatic events cannot be avoided in your life because that is the only way for you to learn a certain lesson, all you have to do is reach out for the helping hands of the angels and me. Your own life alone can teach you total and utter trust in me and my truth that I will not fail you and that I am always there for you. Recommended reading: Woman's Tears, The Health Benefits of Crying. How often and for what reasons you weep can be influenced by many factors, for example gender, age, perception of events, the attitudes of the societies surrounding you, health, personality characteristics and so forth. In the past, all you knew about weeping had come from poetry, fiction writing and films. At last, medical and psychological studies have been added onto this that provide strong and consistent evidence that crying does indeed have significant health benefits. Your researchers now recognize that four biological mechanisms function as catalysts for the amount of tears you shed at a given time. Genetic influences are to be considered, as well as dietary factors, hormone levels and circadian rhythms, which means that you are more likely to cry when you have been deprived of sleep and at certain times of the day.